This is a real wake-up call to the whole world. The dream of greater Israel is within touching distance. Trump described Gaza as...
Gaza is a hellhole right now. It's all death in Gaza. Nothing but death and destruction.
While the man responsible for these war crimes and wanted on an arrest warrant by the International Criminal Court was sitting 3 feet away, grinning. Trump said he would transfer 1.8 million Palestinians. I'm not sure how he comes to that figure. There are 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza. What happens to the rest? Are they all killed?
We're talking about probably 1.7 million people, 1.7 million, maybe 1.8 million. But I think all of them, I think they'll be resettled.
This is ethnic cleansing by presidential decree.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
And turn it into...
the Riviera of the Middle East. Gaza's interesting. It's a phenomenal location. On the sea, best weather. Some beautiful things could be done with it.
This announcement doesn't come totally out of the blue. Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, has mused that Gaza would make absolutely superb Mediterranean beachfront property.
In Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable from Israel's perspective. I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. If I was Israel right now, I would just bulldoze something in the Negev. I would try to move people in there. I know that won't be the popular thing to do, but I think that that's a better option to do so you can go in and finish the job.
Well, we all know that Trump is being bankrolled by Zionist billionaires. We also know that he's filled his cabinet with people who just simply parrot Israel's talking points.
He's appointed an ambassador in Mike Huckabee, who believes that there's no such thing as a Palestinian.
There really is no such thing as, and I have to be careful in saying this, because people will really get upset, there's no such thing as a Palestinian.
He's appointed a defense secretary in Pete Hegseth, who says that a third temple should be built where the Al-Aqsa Mosque now is.
The declaration of Jerusalem as the capital was a miracle, and there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
For the national religious right, their dreams of greater Israel are within touching distance. Trump may dress this up as in sort of fake concern for the Palestinians.
I think they'll be resettled in areas where they can live a beautiful life and not be worried about dying every day.
Of course they deserve to live in a decent life, but they also deserve to live in their own homes, and they also deserve to live in their own land. Who can possibly think that this is now just a fight between Israel and Hamas or Israel and Gaza? This is Israel, America, against the entire Palestinian people.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. You are the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House.
I'm starting to understand why Benjamin Netanyahu accepted a ceasefire deal when there was so much opposition to it at home. For Netanyahu, the sight of Hamas in pristine Toyota Jeeps and new uniforms, evidently in control of Gaza and releasing the hostages who were in good shape, was deeply, deeply humiliating. And Netanyahu obviously did not want this to go on. He's now persuaded the American president to allow him to pull the plug on any further hostage release. What incentive has he given Hamas even to continue with the current stage one ceasefire and to honor its commitments if America tears up everything negotiated? And this makes Trump's push for a ceasefire around the time of his inauguration even more cynical a gesture, because he wasn't even serious about getting the hostages back. Pledges he made to families of the hostages with whom he surrounded himself in. He used them basically as stage props for his inauguration. But you can't have a continuing hostage release and war and greater Israel at the same time. It's one or the other. And what appears to be happening is that he's thrown the hostages down a deep hole and has given Netanyahu the green light to resume total war in Gaza. Not just that, to resume total war in the West Bank with the specific purpose of mass population transfer. Taking over the Gaza Strip is something Trump forgot to mention in his 2024 presidential campaign.
I'm going to ask all of my friends to come up from the Arab and Muslim part of Michigan.
We as Muslims stand with President Trump because he promises peace. He promises peace, not war.
Trump campaigned on a basis of stopping all wars. But this is not a basis for deconfliction. This is a basis for reconfliction. The penny must now have dropped. that following Israel down the rabbit hole will set the entire region of the Middle East on fire. It is not a recipe for stopping wars. It is a recipe for Californian-style wildfires. It is the wind which will project devastation across a vast, tinder-dry region. It's a recipe for regional war. I cannot emphasize enough how dangerous this is for the stability of Israel's neighbors. Egypt has been quiet for all the wrong reasons under dictatorship, but it has held its border with Israel. Jordan has been quiet, very, very uneasily so. But with Israel now threatening to interfere in Syria and pursue its plan to divide it into cantons, and with its refusal to pull out of Lebanon and its annexation plans to the West Bank, this is an absolute recipe for war on all its borders and the destabilization of all of its neighbors. And there is no Arab leader now who has not now come to the same conclusion. Both Jordan and Egypt think that a population transfer of over 1 million Palestinians from Gaza, either to Egypt or to Jordan, would be an existential issue. And senior sources in Jordan have told Middle East that this would be a cause for war. This is the same country that right now allows Israeli jets and American jets to use its airspace to shoot down Iranian drones. Jordan receives $1.2 billion in US aid, but it is serious when it says that it would go to war over this. Egypt is serious when it says it cannot accept Palestinian refugees. Now, if it were down purely to the likes of President of Egypt, Sisi, I'm sure an agreement could be reached, because he and Trump are extremely dishonest and transactional leaders. However, it's not down to Sisi. It is down to the Egyptian army, who knows that how fragile the Egyptian state is after 10 years of military dictatorship. The last thing that they could contain is a huge, angry population of highly active Palestinians all trying to use Egypt as a base on which to rid the Israeli occupation forces from their homes and their land in Gaza. Gaza will have become a complete symbol of crushed Palestinian statehood. Gaza, as a piece of turf, has now become almost sacred to the Palestinian cause. It is no longer just the place where Gazan refugees from previous conflicts ended up. It has become sacred turf in its own right. You can see exactly how determined the Gazans have been to go back. 500,000 have walked back into northern Gaza to stake claim to their houses and their ruins, even though they are piles of concrete.
Netanyahu and Trump. At first, fuck you. Then, you see, this is the rubble of my house. It was destroyed by you and your arms. Do you think I will leave my home? I will leave the rubble of my home? No, I will never. I will remove the rubble with my hands and will rebuild my house with my hands. And every single Gazan will do the same as me. We will never leave our home. We will never leave our home to you.
Every Palestinian, wherever he or she is, in whatever they are doing in any part of the world, will feel that this is a mortal blow to A, to their identity, and B, to their desire and their demand now for self-determination. This is an attack on every Palestinian and each Arab government who is threatened by this threat of mass population transfer should immediately stop all security cooperation with Israel as a sign that they are serious. And Trump should listen seriously to the blowback he's now going to get and the absolute maelstrom of instability that he would have kicked up with this announcement. In particular, Europe should wake up. Europe cannot stand by and watch a catastrophe in the East Mediterranean unfold, because it is the East Mediterranean. And we know what happened with a wave of 1 million Syrian refugees in Germany. It sunk Angela Merkel and it changed the politics of Germany forever. Germans should ask themselves, what will happen if 2 million Palestinians from Gaza and millions more from the West Bank start knocking on its doors and Europe's doors? This is a European disaster in the making, not just an American and Israeli one. They have got to now make statements and actually intervene and say, over our dead body, is this going to actually happen? And it's all done on the basis of lies. Netanyahu repeated the demonstrable lie that babies had been burnt alive on October the 7th.
They burnt babies alive?
Israel keeps on going back to October the 7th as the sort of moral foundation block to everything it has done in 15 months. But just judge for yourself what has happened in those 15 months. 80% of Gaza has been destroyed. At least 50,000 and probably three times that number have been killed in Gaza. There are about 8,000 people missing. It has been October the 7th every week in Gaza ever since. And we, the international community, have just stood by and allowed this to happen.
The entire Western media has concentrated on the release of the hostages that Hamas released in good condition. No one has given any thought to the prisoners who were released by Israel, some of whom showed signs of being beaten up before their release, and they were released in very bad condition.
كيف راسه كان لما يعني يسرح الصوت لو في حدا يسمع شو بلش من صوت اللي راح جلد راسه هنا الجسم راح يعني إشي هذا كان تعذبني.
No one's commented on this. No one's commented on the continuing arrests that take place every day while Israel is conducting operations in the West Bank. And so the total number of prisoners that Israel has at any one point never really varies, because even though you have high-profile events like prisoner releases, they're constantly replenishing the stocks of prisoners day in, day out, and that is just regarded as normal life. The operation that's now going on in the West Bank suits Netanyahu. It's a gift to Bezalel Smotrich, his finance minister, and the de facto consul general of the West Bank. That is the real prize of the extreme religious right. It's the West Bank. It's what they regard as the biblical home of the Jews, and they want to annex it. And for the national religious right, their dreams of greater Israel are within touching distance. And Israel is doing its damnedest right now to collapse the PA in the West Bank. What's happened in Jenin has been a fight between the Palestinian security services and Jenin resistance fighters, which preceded the current Israeli operation. The PA is thus doing much, much more than simply collaborating with the invader and the occupier. It's doing their work for them, and they're working sequentially. This is designed to rob Mahmoud Abbas and Ramallah of any remaining authority that he has over the West Bank. And I think this has been done deliberately by Israel to collapse the PA. And all you have then is a series of townships, all gated, all closed by the Israeli occupiers, permanently under siege and permanently under control of Israel, who want to return to an era where they deal with hundreds of local leaders which they divide and rule at will. That is their fundamental blueprint for a Palestine that is very, very far from being an authority, and even further from being a Palestinian state. Remember that Netanyahu thinks strategically, and that his legacy will be to have killed a Palestinian state before it could even be born. And that is what he's aiming at now in the West Bank, and what the ruins of Gaza could allow him to do. Impunity that Israel has enjoyed carries on and will carry on with bells on under the Trump administration. But it's no longer about now what Israel can get away with. It's about the big forces that will change the course of the war are the forces within Israel itself, the loss of faith, the loss of ability just to keep on fighting. A majority is in favor of the ceasefire and of stopping a war, not out of any moral qualms for the Palestinians. 62% of Israel still believes that there are no such thing as an innocent Palestinian in Gaza. So it's not out of moral qualms, it's out of war fatigue. And regional forces as well. I'm not talking about the regional forces of governments, but of their population. The Sunni Arab world has been energized in a way which has not been seen for decades. In a sense, it was their passivity that allowed Israel to get away with murder every single day on the West Bank and not even mention it in their news bulletins. That was the situation in 2017 when Trump took over. Trump 1.0 took over when the Palestinian cause was all but dead and buried. Everyone was talking about money, normalization, new projects, a train line that would have gone all the way from Saudi Arabia to Haifa. All of these possibilities. And the Palestinians were Gastarbeiter. They were movable pieces. They didn't have statehood. They didn't have a land. They could have their enclave on the desert. If you look at Trump's plan for Palestine, his map, as published in his Deal of the Century, it's of various enclaves which are totally split up. No contiguous land, some industrial park in the Negev Desert. That's the most that they could aspire to. Not East Jerusalem, nothing. That was the situation in 2015. Now compare that to the situation now, where everyone is literally up in arms. And you have, especially in countries which are pro-Israel and which have signed a normalization deal, like Morocco, you have a Moroccan with a US green card getting up and stabbing and injuring seriously Israelis in Tel Aviv. Now, I'm not praising that. As a commentator, it is noteworthy that a Moroccan does this. And that is why Israel is so wrong to think in terms of normalization with governments, when the hatred that they have engendered and up-and-coming Moroccans is there to be seen. Really, we should be thinking, and they should be thinking, about what they're doing in this war and how long they can carry maintaining this level of maximum force and maximum destruction. Israel is only prevailing by literally leveling all the neighborhoods around it, and it cannot carry on like that. It simply cannot exist as an armed state which levels southern Lebanon, levels Gaza, levels the West Bank, and occupies now a larger chunk of Syria than it is occupying in Gaza. It cannot exist by this policy of maximum force because the Arab world and its neighbors have a memory and they will get these lands back. It won't necessarily be tomorrow, but they will get these lands back. And this is not peace that is being established. It's laying the foundations for a regional war. And 76 years after this first started, one thing is for certain, the Palestinians are going nowhere. This period of history underlines the importance of independent media like the Middle East Eye and Double Down News as never before. Please keep on reading us and following us. These are the organizations that will stay with this story and will not abandon it and will inform you better than anyone else will. Support Double Down News on Patreon and please read Middle East Eye.